Are you looking for the latest in Star Wars toys and action figures? Black Series 3 and 3 quarter inch or plush toys? Be sure to check IncredibleToyBox.com. We also carry the latest in Marvel Legends, Walking Dead, and much, much more. Remember, orders over $99 are eligible for free shipping.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Toy Run, the Star Wars Action Figure Cast. Join the hosts, Chris B. from JediBusiness.com and Jake Stevens from ForLom2Zuckus.com as they chronicle the world of collecting Kenner and Hasbro's Star Wars action figures through news, reviews, interviews, and discussions. Now, on with the show.
I can't even put into words how upset I am. I didn't get the Smuggler Bounties box, especially this week. Now, I'm not a Funko collector, but come on, Snaggletooth. Snaggletooth. Blue Snaggletooth of all Snaggletooth. Is that how you, is that plural?
I don't know. Maybe.
Snaggle tie, snaggle teeth. Oh, man. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I saw that. But you know me. I'm not into the Funko Pop stuff, craze, whatever you might call it. So
no, they're not for everyone. They're not for everyone. They border on the cute. And, you know, a lot of people don't like the cutesy stuff. Oh, I have a handful. I have a handful, mostly of characters I like. But, dude, how much do I like a blue Snaggletooth and a red Snaggletooth in their Kenner costumes? Come on now. That is awesome. Awesome. If I would have known they were going to be dipping into Kenner creations, I would have put down the money months ago.
Well, especially now that you know how much they go on eBay for. They're like up in $100 or something like that.
A couple hundred dollars. I threw up in my mouth twice looking at the prices of those.
Jeez.
I know. Never going to have this one. But, oh well. Live and learn. It's a great Kenner cameo. Wish I could own it, but... You know, actually, there is a chance. I noticed that in an article written today that they, if you order the Maze Smuggler Bounty Box, you can order pass boxes, but you're not necessarily going to get the blue, right? So to get the blue, you are going to shake out the money. But if you want a red, most likely you can order that old box and get that one at least. So I'm debating it.
Yeah, just it's better to put your money where the action figure line is, you know?
It is an action figure. It's the only 3 3/4 line out there.
That is not an action figure to me, man.
Well,
that is not an action figure to me.
You know, you're right. It only has head articulation, and I don't know what you call articulation that bobbles up and down.
So I got a funny story to tell you, but before I get into that, welcome, guys. Welcome to the third episode of Toy Run, the Star Wars Action Figure Cast. I'm your host, Chris B., and here with me is my good friend, Jake Stevens. How are you, Jake?
I'm blue over Snaggletooth.
So let me tell you this real quick. Last night, I tell my son to go upstairs and brush his teeth.
Okay.
And so he runs upstairs and he brushes his teeth, and he doesn't come back downstairs. So I'm like... Evan, where are you at? What's taking so long? And, you know, 2 minutes later, he comes downstairs. He's all dressed in his PJs. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'm ready to go to sleep. And I was like, all right, I'll take you to bed. And so we walked upstairs. And while I was walking up the stairs, I noticed all of his Star Wars action figures lined up on the stairs.
Yes.
So that's why he was late. He was actually... playing with his Star Wars action figures, and he got distracted by them. So, you know, that was a kind of a weird moment for me because I felt kind of really proud of it, but at the same time, I felt really bad because I rushed him and told him to stop playing, basically. So not on purpose, but you know.
No, of course.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, those moments are fantastic for especially for us collectors who are getting old and we're having kids. We're, you know, it's nice when your kids kind of, you know, they don't have to be the freaks that we are going hardcore for all these Star Wars action figures or even toys. But man, how nice is it when they do show an appreciation for something that you loved both when you were their age and today?
I know. That's awesome. It's great. So, but I was going to ask you, though, because I know that you went to the Lake City Toy Show this past weekend, and I've never been, so I was curious to hear from you how that went.
No, you bet. The Lake City Toy Show is actually a heavy diecast show, so the ability to find vintage figures is hit and miss depending on the show. That's a show I'm pretty familiar with because I've worked this show before, because I sometimes refer to myself as an over collector. So I take what I've kind of collected too much of and kind of work a toy show to get back some extra money to over collect the next thing. So it's an ugly cycle, but it's fun. And so this show, unlike shows I've worked in the past, did not have a lot of carded figures, but they did have a fair amount of loose. The only carded figure I recall seeing is a K-Mall from the Droids line, and the guy was wanting $150 for it. And granted, it was a nice car. It was
That's
a
not
nice
too
car.
Bad. $150 is not too bad, is it?
Not too bad. I don't. You know, here's the thing. I'm a loose collector. I really like toys, and so I like to play with them. So I don't do a lot of expensive carded figures. Not because I open them, but because I don't like spending that money, because it's taken me away from money of all the other figure stuff I need to buy. So right now I have a rule. My rule is $35 is the max I'll pay for a vintage carded figure. So what does that mean I collect in reality? Beater cards. Yes, I do love me some beater cards. So this figure doesn't have a home in my collection because A, it's really nice, and B, it's really too expensive. But what I did pick up here at the con was a handful of loose figures. I found when we did our reflection show for Galaxy of Toys about the Last Empire Strikes Back wave of figures, I realized I didn't have a really, really good backup for my TIE fighter pilot, which is strange because most figures I have three or four of, but I could not find a second TIE fighter pilot. So I was on the hunt for one of those, and I found one with Weapon. $15. I wasn't too sad about that.
That's not bad at all.
No. I bought a couple black security Bespin guards. One had the blaster, one did not, but the one that did not have the blaster had almost all of his gold trim intact, which, you know, is kind of hard to find for those Bespin guards. I picked up a purple aproned Ugnaught for $3, which I'll never turn down. He was missing his toolkit, but his apron looked great. I picked up a B-Wing pilot with his blue blaster, right? I can always use more of those blue blasters. Would wish it was black, but I got the blue one. But for $10, I wasn't complaining.
And that's a good price, too.
No, yeah, I thought it was good. Yeah, I didn't pay. Now, $15 was the most expensive figure I picked up.
See, but that's the thing, though, these days. Like, you look at vintage figures and you realize, well, you can get a lot of them for like $10-$15. And you know what? You pay probably the same price for modern figures loose these days, if not even more.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Ahsoka Tano situation is getting a bit out of control.
Yeah.
Was it you that pointed out the other day in our ongoing conversation online that the Clone Wars Shadows of the Dark Side Ahsoka is going for, like, people are asking like $300 for it carded?
Yeah, 300 plus. There are some for 400 on eBay right now. It's interesting because we all talk about how the big Millennium Falcon has appreciated in value so drastically, but you know, take a look at the Ahsoka Tano action figure. I mean, that's just crazy.
That was a $6-$7 figure that's now commanding three Benjamins. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think one of my best scores from the toy show this last weekend, you know, and toy shows are also fun, especially when you have a group of people you can go with. I met up with Gus Lopez here. Kurt Hanks came, Mark Schroeder. So a bunch of the Sarlacc people came. And so it's a good time to hang out and just kind of walk the floor as well. But I did find someone selling the DVD of the double disc or the flip-sided DVD of the Ewok movies. Now, this is something I already had, but I had to pick this one up because they were selling it for $5.
Wow.
I don't know if you're familiar with the spike in that. I saw it at a Half Price Books for $85 recently. I know online, I think $60 is the norm. We have Stefan from Sarlacc told me after he saw me post the find online that the video store in Seattle actually charges a $200 deposit just to check this out, because it's out of print, of course. Mm-hmm. So this is clearly something that somebody didn't know that they had.
That's a great find.
Yeah, no, and it's a nice backup piece to the disc I already have, so keep that one safe. I picked up a couple vintage magazines. I got the July 77 issue of People magazine with C-3PO on the cover, and I got a Life magazine from 83 that has like a Return of the Jedi montage. I got those both for $5. Can't go wrong there. But one of my favorite pickups from the show is a loose Stormtrooper with both shoulders painted red. So some kid at some point took his mom's fingernail polish and painted both of the Stormtrooper shoulders red. I love the callbacks, the nostalgia surrounding those type of pieces. Just like when you find card backs where all the figures have been X'd off, just like I did as a kid. I mm-hmm. love those ones. I always buy them. And the best thing about that Stormtrooper with the painted shoulders, the guy wanted $1 for it. So you can't go wrong for $1 and a great piece of nostalgia.
Very cool.
Yeah, good show. But, you know, again, these are all things that, you know, other than the Ewok DVD, these are things that are pretty common at most toy shows. So, yeah.
Oh, you picked up some cool stuff. I was lucky to get my hands finally on a Kylo Ren, which was packaged in the Empire magazine, which was a UK exclusive.
Limited UK exclusive.
Right. Yeah. So the figure is nothing special. That's just the basic first release of Kylo Ren with the first billet weapon piece in it. But the entire packaging is really nice. So it has this little sleeve, basically where the magazine is inside, and the figure. And I think it was limited to 4,000 or 4,500 pieces. So it's kind of hard to get, especially if you're outside of the UK. So I wanted to give a shout out real quick to Mark Newbold from Jedi News for picking this one up for me and hooking me up.
That's so nice. That's awesome. Yeah, it's a great piece.
That's awesome.
It's a piece that I would suggest if people want it, you move on it now, because I know I bought mine kind of right when they came out. I was just too worried with the limited number. I picked one up. I'm very happy about it. But just know that if you want to read the magazine, you want to pick up a loose one, because it's taped together. So you can't read the magazine without opening the...
You have to open it, yeah.
Yeah, so you kind of want to avoid that. So I haven't read Empire magazine yet. I need to pick one up.
See, I like that, though, because it kind of reminds me of my vintage days when I got the Snowtrooper, which was packed in with the German comic book back in the days.
Oh, very cool.
And so, yeah, I'll probably display them side by side.
But you didn't open that one?
I did open it, but I still have it.
Oh, cool. But still, very cool. Yeah. Nice piece. Well, that's a cool pickup. I also want to give a shout out as well for a new figure that was picked up for me. And thanks to our friends Marjorie and Arnie over at Star Wars Action News, they attended C2E2 this past weekend. And one of the vendors there was making this series of custom Jedi Master Luke figures from The Force Awakens. And the customizer goes by, I think the company or brand he kind of sells himself on is Battle Babies. I've discovered him on Instagram. And what he did is he made this vinyl card back where you can actually have a removable bubble, so you can actually remove the figure from it and put it back on and off multiple times, which is my favorite. And that's what I love when customizers do that. That you don't have to actually rip into their beautiful work. But the figure is actually casted from a vintage Anakin Skywalker figure from Power of the Force. And what they did is they re-sculpted the hand, the robotic hand of Luke, and they re-sculpted the face to look like the bearded Luke as well. So, you know, at this point, it's about the only Jedi Master Luke action figure I'm going to get for the foreseeable future. So I was very, very happy. It had a limited run at C2E2 of just 20 pieces. So 20 pieces. And so, you know, I think Marjorie hurried to the line to pick one up, and I am ever so grateful for that.
Awesome.
So, yeah, when's Hasbro going to get on the Jedi Luke wagon?
I know. We're all waiting. But apparently, from what it sounds from Toy Fair, they're developing one in the 3 3/4 inch line and in the 6 inch line. And, You know, it's not just Hasbro. It's all the other licensees as well. It seems like they've gotten the reference material a little too late. And so hopefully by fall, we will get our Luke Skywalker action figures. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I think there's only one announced so far, and you don't call it an action figure, and that would be the Funko Pop.
Yeah, not an action figure.
They announced at Toy Fair that they're putting together, and they showed a small little image of his Jedi Masterness. So I will be picking that one up.
His Jedi Masterness.
Is that a name? Is that a term?
Oh, it is now. Something? It is now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to buying anything with Luke's image on it. I think the only thing that's currently out official at all is a Trumps card, the UK kind of card trading playable game called Trumps. We get them sometimes here in the US, but not like they do over in Europe. I think you brought me a set, right? Didn't you bring me an album one time of Trump's cards?
Yeah, that was the German version of it.
The German version. Yeah, but that they get them. The Trumps are a bigger craze overseas than they are here, so we don't get them. But there is a Luke Jedi card out there if you are dying to have something with his visage on it.
All right. So how about we head on over to the toy rundown of the news? What do you
Perfect.
Think, Jake?
I'll do it.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's do this week's toy rundown of the news. Well, if you're looking to pre-order the Tokadana Encounter 4-pack, well, there's many online vendors that can do it, but we would suggest our sponsor, IncredibleToyBox.com. They're currently offering pre-orders on this 4-pack, which includes exclusive Maz Kanata and what do we call it? Luke Skywalker lightsaber box. Now, if you're looking for the newest action figures, well, Target this week has been putting out a large freestanding shipper, which not only has action figures packed into it, but also 6-inch figures, 3¾ inches. That's another term I just came up with. Inches. Lightsabers and lots of other stuff. So it's most likely for the Easter holiday. But if you're looking for the new figures, I know that my Target put out the shipper that included Kylo Ren with removable hood. That might be the place you want to check. Now, if you are one of those lucky people who received and subscribed to the Smuggler's Bounty, the Funko subscription service, well, you got a great surprise this past week. What Funko started shipping out this week is Red Snaggletooth Funko Pops. Now, this is based on his vintage Kenner outfit. And on top of that, they made a chase figure within this subscription where you can get the blue Snaggletooth. So there are some out there who are getting red, some out there are getting blue, but regardless, you're getting an awesome throwback to a Kenner figure. In 6-inch news, Target is also the place you want to be looking for the new Ahsoka Tano and Kanan Jarrus and Farm Boy Luke Skywalker wave, as that has been found at many Targets, especially here in the Pacific Northwest. Now, time for a rumor report. And this one comes from Jedi Temple Archives. They have posted a few reports this past week saying that they've learned that with Rogue One's release on September 30th, that's the new Force Friday, folks, that there is going to be 8 figures for the Black Series 6-inch line available. They also stated that the first of these figures will be based on the female lead, which at this point, unless they do a media flip-flop like they did with Force Awakens and Rey and Finn, we're assuming that female lead for Rogue One is going to be Felicity Jones. They also reported an interesting piece of news, and Chris, I want to hear your opinion on this one, but they released an announcement that Hasbro is going to be making a 3¾ vehicle or masterpiece set or something along those lines that's going to command a price of about $300. $300. $300. Now, this would be an absolute record for anything Hasbro's ever released, especially in the 3 3/4 line, because even the reissue of the BMF, the Big Millennium Falcon, in the vintage packaging as a Toys R Us exclusive, didn't even come in at $300. That one came in at about $250. So, Chris, the question is, what do you want or think this piece could be?
Well, that's a tough call. I wish they would have the balls to do the Ghost from Star Wars Rebels. Give us a big Ghost that can house the entire crew. Not quite sure if they're going to go for that, but that would be my number one on my wish list, basically. Rumor has it that it might be an AT-AT with a Nerf gun popping out in the back. Apparently, Hasbro showed some images or prototypes even of this vehicle during Toy Fair in New York City last month. If that's the case, well, it doesn't really get me excited, especially for $300. But what could get me excited is if it's a throwback to the original Kenner vintage line, because if you remember, at the end of the vintage line, Kenner still developed a lot of vehicles, and they had prototypes, and there's a bunch of pictures out there of an AT-AT prototype which has the back of it cut open with a huge gun pointing out. If that's something like that, that's a clear nod and a clear throwback to those vintage days. That could be really interesting and intriguing to me.
You know what? That is one of my favorite pieces from that concept line. So the line was called The Epic Continues, and that was their follow-up pitch that they gave to Lucasfilm about where the story or the characters of Star Wars should go after the movies have fallen off the radar in about 86, where this line would have come out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they took a AT-AT, they cut off the top back, they took a Death Star turret and mounted it on the back. It was such a cool piece. I would be so excited if that was integrated into Rogue One. How cool would that be? That would be awesome.
That'd be great. I mean, if you don't know what you were talking about, we're going to post a picture with our show notes on our website, so you can check that out.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
But for $300, man, whatever it is, it better deliver.
It has to have a lot. It has to be a lot of figures or vehicles included, because $300 is not a kid's toy. That's not a kid's toy. That now you're getting into high-end collectible price, and that's just I get worried. That's what my problem was, the 6-inch TIE Fighter. It's just most kids can't go to the store and ask for that. It's too big. It's too expensive. So I get worried with big pieces like this, price tags, if this sticks true.
And see, that's the interesting point, because the 6-inch TIE Fighter that we just got, that cost $169 when it first came out. That thing is massive. So for $300, almost double that price, and for a smaller scale. So that's not in scale with the 6-inch figures. That's in scale with the 3 3/4-inch figures. So that thing's got to be huge.
Yeah, whatever it is. And again, this is a rumor report. So, of course, we're going to be cautious with this, and wait for some official announcements from Hasbro or a convention. So, yeah, we'll look forward to it.
Toy Run, the Star Wars action figure cast, features news, reviews, interviews, and discussions about your favorite Star Wars action figures from the Kenner and Hasbro toy lines from 1978 until today. Let us know what you found on your Toy Run, what figures we should review, or what guests you'd like to see on the show. Send an email to either toyrun@jedibusiness.com or toyrun@from4lomtozuckus.com. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
Now that we just talked about a potential $300 vehicle coming out in the 3 3/4-inch line during the fall, the question that we have for you is, what do you want this to be? Do you want it to be a vehicle? Do you want it to be a playset? Do you want them to re-release the Big Millennium Falcon, maybe? Let us know. Leave us comments, please, on our websites or on social. Tag us. Let us know what you want Hasbro to bring out. And Let us know what you think about a $300 price tag.
So this week's reader questions, we got one question from Cheeseman James, and he wrote, I want to know why the new Wave 4 3¾-inch The Force Awakens figures haven't been rolled out in central New York yet. It's like everywhere but here. What gives? They got them in Texas, Florida, Australia, Canada, but not Syracuse. Well, James, I don't know what to tell you. I can only tell you that Star Wars action figures are hot right now. It's really hard to get them. I go on toy runs almost daily, and I cannot find anything in the stores either. I don't even find leftover figures from certain waves. And if it wasn't for a network of people that I have also looking for the same figures, I would never know that a store had actually received anything. I actually know a whole bunch of people who are still looking for a Rey figure. Problem is that you just don't know when stores will restock. I mean, you can hit a store in the morning at 8 o'clock when Target opens and you run in, and they might have stocked overnight, but they might also put out stuff on the shelf during the day. So it's really tough to find, and especially because figures are so hot, you know, all it takes is one guy to walk in and just clear out the entire shelf. You might actually want to start pre-ordering stuff online. Check sponsors that we have, like theincredibletoybox.com. That's another way of getting your figures these days. And of course, the best way to go about it is just by networking with people in your local area. And maybe you can, trade for certain figures or have people pick up figures for you and then, you know, swap them later on at some point.
Yeah, no, I agree. Getting a network of people, getting on to collector groups in the area, making friends with the people that work at the store, taking up the DCPI numbers or the skin numbers or the SKU numbers, if you know what they are, depending on what store you're at, and having customer service do a search for them. There's a lot of tips that you can do, but, you know, it takes work. It's, you know, unfortunately, it's not the days. You know, how many times have you been surfing Facebook and someone posts a photo of vintage Star Wars action figures hanging on the shelves of Toys R Us or someplace, and it looks like they probably have 8,000 carded figures on the shelf. You know, those days are clearly gone because stores now are quick to replenish their stock, and you kind of have to do the work in order to find out if when figures are going to be in and if they've come in. So, yeah, I will agree, it's not as easy as it used to be, and Hasbro's we know that Hasbro and their current distribution model isn't necessarily the same across the whole country. What we're getting here in Pacific Northwest right now might not make it to the East Coast. Sometimes it's vice versa. I know that they sit on things all the time. It seems like Texas always gets things, yet other places never see anything. So yeah, there's a lot of different factors, but there's ways that you can find it. I mean, like you said, here, Chris and I have a pretty good network we set up, and we typically get everything that's out either online or through a friend or going toy runs ourselves. So it takes some work, but you can do it.
Hi, this is Chris Perillo, and you're listening to Toy Run, the Star Wars action figure cast.
All right, so next up is our figure focus. So I'm going to be talking about the Amazon exclusive 7-pack, which is out right now. Actually, it came out in January already. But it's one of the nicest pieces which Hasbro has released for The Force Awakens, so I wanted to talk about it. So the set is basically a cube which can be unfolded, and it houses 7 action figures in it. It's called the First Order Legion, and it basically has 7 clone troopers in it. It has Captain Phasma in it, which is the second Captain Phasma, which has the black pouch on the belt. It has a First Order TIE Fighter pilot. It comes with the basic First Order Flame Trooper, and it comes with a regular First Order Stormtrooper and a First Order Snowtrooper. The special about this set is the First Order Riot Control Stormtrooper. And it's the only way how you can get a First Order Heavy Artillery Stormtrooper. Now, this figure is a little different from the basic carded version in that it doesn't have a white shoulder pauldron. The great thing about this set is that it's not only a fantastic troop builder set, but it just displays beautifully. And another thing that's really attractive to me is the price point at $47. Not only is it a good price, but it saves you the headache of tracking down all those action figures in the stores. All you do is you go online, you order the set, and bang, there you have seven figures right off the bat. So it's a really good beginner set. It's a really good troop builder set. It's also a great collector set because of the packaging. And it's definitely one of my favorite pieces so far, which Hasbro has released for The Force Awakens. So make sure you put this on your wish list and make sure you get this one.
Very cool. Yeah, it's a great piece. It's a beautiful display piece. I did not want to open mine because it just displays so nicely, both rounded up or opened.
Yeah, you know, the figures are all 5 POA, but everything pretty much is these days. So, you know. But you get a True. Whole bunch of weapons with the figures, and you know, you pretty much get two exclusives right now with the Riot Control Stormtrooper and the Heavy Artillery Trooper.
No, absolutely, absolutely. It's a great piece. It was a great piece. I liked it so much, I gently opened the two exclusive figures, the Traitor Trooper and the other Heavy Gear one, and I left the rest in the package. And that's saying something for me, because I'm a loose collector, but I liked the way it looked so much.
Yeah, and you know, when's the last time you've actually seen a Captain Phasma on the shelves, right?
Very true, yeah. Very true. Now, there's two versions of the 5 POA Phasma, as she has some variants about her paint apps on her belt. Chris, do you know which one comes in the multi-pack?
Yeah, this is the second released version with the black pouch.
Okay, so the first release, that very, very early on in the wave, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Her pouch on her left hip had a silver covering or silver
yes.
lid to the pouch, correct?
Exactly, yeah, the top.
And then later it was corrected to an all black, yeah.
Right. I did get actually a report from a guy in Italy who found a version of an all silver pouch. But I've only had one report so far, and the date stamp on that figure was actually in between both of those production dates. So the first one was clearly the one with the silver flap on the top, and the second one was clearly the all-silver one, which I got a report from Italy. And the third one, which is the one that's really widespread, that's the one with the all-black pouch. And you can check out pictures of all the variations on JediBusiness.com. Just go to Captain Phasma, click on the figure, and there is a bunch of links with comparison pictures. But overall, just go check out the set. It is really cool, and it's a good price, and it saves you the headache of having to track down all those figures in the stores. Plus, you get two exclusive figures in this set and beautiful packaging. So this is definitely worth picking up.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to take a Force Awakens figure focus as well. What I'm looking at today is the Fifth Brother Inquisitor figure. Now, this is in one of the newest waves that's currently hitting brick and mortar and online stores, if you can find it. And the card back reads, as this figure is from Rebels, of course, not from The Force Awakens, although it's in The Force Awakens line. It says, "A towering presence, the Fifth Brother Inquisitor, is tasked to hunt the rebels by Darth Vader himself. A man of few words, he uses his intimidating physicality and brute strength to try and best the rebels' crew and capture the elusive Jedi." Now, I chose this figure because I love the fact that it is so tall and essentially menacing. It is does capture the character from the show. It looks spot on to how he's seen in the series from week to week, Star Wars Rebels. He is not, I'll say as a character goes, he's not my favorite character from the show. He's pretty dumb and, you know, doesn't have much wit. But as an action figure goes, it is a solid design. Solid, which means, you know, it figure stands great. It's got the 5 points of articulation. It is got really nice paint apps. They're all pretty clean and crisp on the version that I have. He holds his double lightsaber fine in both hands. It's nice to see the double the lightsaber have a little more deco than it did when they first released it with the original Inquisitor, now known as the Grand Inquisitor, from last season. It's got extra detail and deco paint that the originals did not have. But yeah, his paint apps are great. The sculpting, he's screen accurate. The only thing I say, if I had to find something to pick on with this figure, is the fact that they just painted his entire eyes just white. There's no pupil. Now, granted, he doesn't have the darkest of pupils, but I searched it up online. I made sure. But he does have pupils, but they're not present here. So he looks a little vacant if you're looking at him in the eye. But yeah, it's a huge figure. It captures his height perfectly. And yeah, he comes with a build-a-weapon piece that's some type of like capture claw. Now, this piece is a little better than other pieces that have come in the build-a-weapon wave, as A, he can hold it well in his hand, and it looks like maybe a tool or a weapon that he could actually, you know, use. It looks plausible. And not only that, is that the capture claw, the kind of opens and closes. It adjusts, kind of like a vice clamp. So you actually have some playability there. With the actual build-a-weapon piece that he can both hold, and it has a little articulation or movable piece built in. So, excellent figure. I'm very happy with it. I like the fact that it's got the Empire emblems well painted on his shoulders. Really shows that he's a, you know, an Inquisitor from that era. He's got also, you know, the idea that his design is also kind of like underneath this armor is almost like an Imperial officer. Uniform is very cool as well. So, great figure. I highly encourage it if you're into the 5POA and if you're collecting Rebels figures.
Yeah, I find actually that the Fifth Brother Inquisitor, the figure is almost more intimidating than the character in the TV show.
Agreed.
So, you know, it's about a head taller than a basic figure. It looks pretty impressive in person.
Yeah, when you put this next to an Ezra, you start scratching your head on how Ezra's been holding his own every time he comes into contact with this guy, because he is a beast. But yeah, great figure.
Hi, I'm actor rockstar Rick Springfield. When I'm not on tour, I like to kick back in my pad with my Star Wars action figure collection.
New Star Wars The Force Awakens toys and action figures are here.
Cool!
The biggest, most realistic force in the universe. Only the power of the Force brings you the biggest heroes and villains straight from the movies, and the largest fleet of full-scale vehicles ever.
From Kenner's Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back collection, it's Millennium Falcon that you put together. Batteries not included.
Nice landing, Han Solo!
Star Wars, calling the new battle-action Millennium Falcon. Hyperdrive into enemy territory. Use the pop-up laser cannon. Then begin your attack run and fire the hidden torpedo.
Figures and vehicles each sold separately. Batteries not included, only from Kenner.
Now it's time for Friends of the Force. Friends of the Force is our interview segment. We try to have a different guest on every week, and this week we have Dan Curter on the show. We actually had such a great time talking to Dan that we almost talked for 3 hours. Now, 3 hours is a little long, so we thought we're going to chop it up, and we're going to give you guys the first half of the interview this week, and then next week, you're going to get the second half of the interview. Our guest for this episode is Dan Curter. Now, you more than likely are familiar with his work, as he has contributed to the figure photo archives over at rebelscum.com. He co-authored Steve Sansweet's 2012 book, Star Wars, The Ultimate Action Figure Collection. He can currently be seen on the First Order Transmissions videocast on YouTube and iTunes, discussing Star Wars action figures and all things related to Star Wars. And he's also a Star Wars sketch card artist for Topps and a regular contributor to the photo galleries over at sandtroopers.com. Welcome, Dan, and thanks for being on the show.
Wow, it's so funny because thank you very much. That's quite an intro. I didn't realize I did all that.
Well, we've been following you for a long time, so you've contributed to the action figure community for a long time. So, Yeah.
Yes, I've been collecting many years. I have lots of figures, and we can talk about all that. And it's I'm surrounded by them right now where I'm sitting in my office. So.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, I guess, Jake, you're surrounded by figures as well, just as me, right?
So we're well. We have house guests this week, so I'm actually podcasting from the bedroom, and there's no figures allowed in the bedroom. So
that's right.
Other than the Kylo Ren, the Masters Kylo Ren I opened earlier and blew everyone's ears with the package crackle. So, normally, figures all around.
So, Dan, let's start at the beginning. Like, how did you get involved with collecting Star Wars action figures? Like, what was your first figure?
I think the very first figure that I got was probably one of the old Kenner figures. Maybe it was I like to say it was Han Solo or somebody cool, but it was probably like a Tusken Raider. I collected them all in 78. That was one of the first 12. And I did send away for the early bird kit, but I don't remember which one came first, whether I got that in the mail first or the figure showed up in the store. I can't remember that.
Hmm. Do you have a full collection now of vintage figures?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
I have a non-mint because they're all the ones that I actually played with when I was a kid. So they've been in the dirt. They've been in the snow. They've been in the pool. Right. Some of them have magic markers on the bottoms of their feet because some of the kids that I play with, we had multiple stormtroopers, because of course you would want that, we would write our initials on the bottom of the feet. So at the end of us playing, we would kind of know whose was whose. Fast forward, maybe 5-6 years later, when everybody stopped collecting Star Wars figures, I ended up with a lot of those that we played with, which was kind of fun. So I do have a complete collection of the classic Star Wars figures. I do not have a complete collection of the droids line, because I actually didn't know that they had a droids and Ewoks line until many years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here. I didn't know about it either.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was a cartoon show.
Yeah, it wasn't that popular, of course. Hence the cancellations. But Dan, if I remember hearing in the past, some of your actual childhood figures ended up on the cover of the Ultimate Action Figure Collection book, right?
Oh, yeah. So that was kind of a fun thing. We're jumping ahead a bit. I like that. That's fine. When we were doing that, the cover itself, I talked with the publisher, and they wanted to borrow some of my figures to do a photo shoot montage type of thing, right? So I sent by FedEx or something, 200 of random action figures that I had from my own personal collection. And some of them, like I said, they're beat up. R2-D2 sticker was yellowed and a little scratched, and some of the paint was chipping off some of those. And I was kind of like, well, they're not in mint condition. And when we were kind of talking about this, it was decided that that's actually better, because that's what probably most people's collections look like.
Right.
Absolutely.
So it's we could take mint condition pictures and stuff, but this actually makes it more kind of like a personal thing. So that was a very conscious decision. But yeah, I mailed them all to the studio. They did their magic and mailed them all back to me a couple of months later.
Was that nervous, putting your childhood figures in the mail?
It's very strange. Yeah.
And imagine.
I mean, I had no doubt that they would come back, but of course, these are not that some of them are even worth anything. It's just this is my childhood, right?
Yeah, no, they're worth even more. They're unreplaceable since they're yours and not just something from a package. Absolutely.
And I mean, I had I probably have told this story before in other interviews, but I've put my friends growing up. I mean, we're all 8, 9, 10 years old, and we're seeing Star Wars and sort of guessing what's going to happen next between Star Wars and Empire, because we didn't know that there was an Empire. It's not like nowadays you kind of hear that there's going to be a sequel. I mean, how did you find out about The Empire Strikes Back? It was like Starlog magazine, if you happen to know where to find one of those. That was it. Sure. But we had the entire collection. We actually organized ourselves and said, okay, so I'm going to tell my dad to buy me the Millennium Falcon. You tell your mom to get you the Death Star. We're all going to get X-Wings and Stormtroopers and whatnot, So that was kind of the fun thing. If we put us all together, we had the whole collection. And then as time went on, we would keep it going until we got through Jedi. And like I said, a lot of the toys that we played with when we kind of got older and in our teenage years and discovered girls and started driving, we kind of said, we're not so into this anymore. Right. My friends actually gave me their toys. So I said, well, if you don't want them, I'll take them. So, yeah, a lot of those vintage toys, they're all beat up. I'll never replace them. I'm always going to keep those for sure. But I've got Blue Snaggletooth. I've got everything except for a Vinyl Caped Jawa, I think. I pretty much have a lot of the variations, too, just because that's just happens to be.
Oh, nice. So then for a long time, there was really nothing. But then 1995 comes around. Is that when you started collecting the modern figures, or did it take a little longer for you to catch on again?
Oh, no, man. I was all in. When Star Wars figures went away, I switched over to the superhero line. Superpowers. Let's see. What was it? What came out first? I can't remember which one. It was either Superpowers or Secret Wars. They both came out around the time, and they were very different. They were a little bit bigger than my Star Wars toys, so I didn't care for that too much. But, you know, they're superheroes, so I suppose that made a little bit of sense. But I had those as well. And then Toy Biz... I think it was Toy Biz came out with the first Marvel superhero line, the X-Men line with like the Wolverine that had the spring-loaded claws and the mask that you could use as like a little ring. Yep, I collected those as well. And McFarlane started coming out with some stuff back in like, you know, the mid to late 90s. And then Star Wars was coming back and they all had superhero type physiques.
Right.
Which was kind of interesting because, you know, obviously that's not necessarily realistic, but that's okay. And the first one that I got was a C-3PO.
So then a C-3PO, and then you know, you turn the card back, you turn the card around, and then you see that there's going to be more figures, and that got you hooked right away.
Well, they had I mean, like I said, I was a toy collector and a comic book collector all my life, really, and they had. Can't remember if it was being published at the time. It was Wizard, and then they sort of spun off Toy Fair magazine, and they had Tomarts magazine, and I would get them at the comic book store because I was like, oh, look, they have this new Star Wars line coming out. Let's check this out. And we were very excited about it, and I would go to different stores in the New Jersey area and pick up whatever the latest ones were. And it was so funny because, you know, I have my first real adult job now, and I'm kind of like, I don't care if that's $25. I want it. And it's like $4.99 at Toys R Us months later. I'm like, damn it. I saved my money.
Yeah, and now we can get it for like 50 cents. You know?
Come on.
I mean, I've got an army of stormtroopers. I think I have like 100 Power of the Force 2 stormtroopers, just the regular kind. Right. And I've customized a whole bunch of them over the years. But there was a time that you could go into like KB Toys and pick them up for $1.50.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. So how did the whole gig with Rebel Scum come about? Is that because you were so into the figures and you were like online all the time? And then you just asked them?
Initially there wasn't an online thing, right? That came about around the same time when I was a kid, obviously there was no online, there was no internet, none of that kind of stuff. But I started to customize my Star Wars figures. I mean, I'd always gone to Rebel Scum even before it became Rebel Scum. It was like Philip Wise's thoughts on Star Wars toys or something along those lines. And they had a customizing community. And like I said, I would customize my own figures. And I was very interested in that because I kind of saw like some pictures that other people had done and wanted to copy that. And I sort of made my own thing. And I'm like, wow, this is actually a big hobby that people are into. Kind of surprised because I thought I was the only nerd that did that kind of stuff. But no, there's like a whole community out there. And I got involved with, there was an email group that would like post pictures of their customs and they would do what they called a critique of the week. And I would participate in that. And then eventually Stephen Hayford, who's now a well-known photographer artist for StarWars.com and other stuff.
Right.
He asked me if I'd be interested in running it. Because I was pretty active in the group, right? And I said, sure, I guess. What does that mean? I don't know. And I had started my own website, which was curtocustoms.com, and then later became thecustomalliance.com. And I gave a lot of other customizers a forum to kind of show their work and try to make it fun. And I got involved with the Forgotten Force Ultimate Resource Guide, FFURG.com. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of spawned into that. And I sort of worked for any site that would let me show off some of my pictures.
Cool.
So I did work for like the Jawa, which is no longer around.
Well, I remember their website. Yeah.
R2's News. Love R2's News.
Just a bunch of different websites. And then eventually there was a site called collectstarwars.com. And Mike Sulinger, who's the guy that runs that, he asked me if I'd be interested in joining the staff. I was like, sure, that sounds like fun. What do I have to do? And I learned a whole bunch of stuff that I had to do, and that was cool. And then in 2002, he calls me up and says, hey, by the way, we're going to merge with Rebel Scum. And I was like, really? Okay.
Wow.
And then a few months later, he left and formed Galactic Hunter, but I stayed behind at Rebel Scum and did a lot of stuff over there for about 10 years.
Oh yeah. Your work was, growing up collecting these, well, not even growing up, I was an adult at this time, but you were a great resource back in the day, the work you did. I was using it daily. I had an office job in the early 2000s and, I would use it quite often.
Yeah. I was on Rebel Scum at the time. Every day as well, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the number one resource. That was before Facebook and, you know, social media and stuff.
Oh, so. Absolutely. Yeah, none of that was around like it is today. It's completely changed. During the time, I mean, I had several goals. I wanted to create a photo archive of all the action figures, and that obviously that was there before I got there. We revamped it when I joined, and it's still going on. So it's not like that I'm the key part of it. But I think it's different now, that's all. And I wanted to build a comic book gallery, and I scanned all of my Star Wars comic books and made a cover gallery of all of that, because that's something that I was interested in. And I also wanted to really get involved with the community, because part of the fun for me, I just said, I found a bunch of other people that were interested in customizing, and said, that's kind of fun, and I enjoyed doing that. So it seems like there's a ton of people that really like to collect Star Wars toys and talk about Star Wars toys, and I would like to talk to some of those people because they're just like me, right?
Right.
So I did that for a long time. I was part of the forums. We did casting calls. We did, you know, help decide on, like, which action figures we would want Hasbro to make. And I really got in a very good position where I got to know a lot of the people, like at Lucasfilm, at Hasbro, at a lot of the licensees, and I was fortunate enough to be offered a position working alongside Hasbro, not in an official paid capacity, but to kind of help, hey, we're going to do a special edition for the 30th anniversary. We want to have a fan's choice line of action figures, sort of like the greatest hits, you know, best of the best from the past. And I went crazy and built like a March Madness style bracket voting system.
Oh, I remember that. Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
And that made so many people upset, but they were all having fun with it too, you know? And I had some input into the line, which was like, wow, I'm actually having a direct, not say, that's not the right word, but I'm having an input into the toy line that I collect.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's everyone's. That's like being a, what do they call it? A couch quarterback. You know, everyone wants to like say, man, yes, if I ran Hasbro for a day, I would do this and I would do that. Well, you're right here. You got to get about as close as anyone could, not actually working for him. That's awesome.
I mean, it was really fun, and like you said, you know, you were checking out the site a lot and used it as a resource. Well, so was Hasbro. They were looking at it too, and it kind of like going back, and you know, this is stuff that we had done before. And there was a time, pardon me, there was a line of figures for Star Wars: The Force Unleashed video game.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
And they did like a wave of seven figures, but the game got delayed.
Oh, so I remember that, yeah.
They pulled the figures from the wave, and they said, we're going to release them later on, closer to the game's release. But now that gives us a gap in the line, and we have to come up with seven different action figures that kind of, you know, would fit into this category. And I was like, okay. And they said, well, we want to brainstorm with you. What do you think would be good ones? What would people want? And of course, that was easy. I gave them a whole bunch. I said, well, here's like 25 different characters that you could totally do. And he goes, there's rules. We can't do characters we're already doing. So I said, okay, I have no idea who that is. He said, well, we're going to tell you some of them. I said, okay, that's kind of interesting. He goes, you can't tell anybody. I said, all right, I won't. And we can swap parts. We can repaint. We can do all kinds of stuff like that. But, you know, we can't use, like, parts that we're already planning on. So anyway, long story short, they did holographic Darth Vader, an updated to R2-B1, which was a Episode One figure that was very hard to find. It was rather valuable. So this was a new version of that, which was kind of fun. And a couple of clone troopers, a Naboo pilot, and then one of my favorites was a Rebel Vanguard trooper that was from the Battlefront video game, the original Battlefront video game, not the one that's out now. And I got to kind of mix and match some of the parts to go along with that. So I sort of gave them the recipe, if you will.
And so are you responsible for that huge rocket launcher that came with that figure?
Well, no, that was part of a different set. That weapon came with the droid army.
Oh, that's right. That's
but
right.
I said, well, you know, give this guy that weapon because according to the video game, that's what he carries.
Right.
But then it was also fun. They really wanted to use the Greedo figure. And we couldn't find like another Rodian that wasn't dressed just like Greedo. Except there's a couple of them that walked around Mos Espa in the pod race scene. It wasn't quite an exact match, but that's the one they ended up going with. And the paint job on that, though, was beautiful. And it was really funny because it was a lot of emails. Actually, Easter weekend, 2012. Oh, so not 2012, 2007. Wow, holy cow. That was a long time ago. So Easter weekend, 2007 is when all this went down. And then Celebration was during that summer. I think it was in May. And those figures, the prototypes, were on display. And I was like, wow, like 6 weeks later, here they are.
Wow, that was a really fast turnaround. 6 weeks?
It was just the prototypes, so they just did the paint, and they weren't the actual production. But that's why they had to do it that way. It's like, we have to replace these, like, really quick.
Mm-hmm. Sure, so they used existing molds so they can get them out there.
Yeah, I got to see, like, the paint masters, which was kind of fun, because I hadn't, you know, ever seen anything like that before, in person, anyway.
Now, this leads to two pretty significant questions, I think. It's A, like you said, Hasbro was using the sites for themselves, and I wonder how much that goes on today, you know, because Chris has got an amazing site, you know, out there where I wonder, you know, and we know Steve Evans, the design director for Hasbro, has commented on Instagram and whatnot. So I wonder how much they're checking in with their product, but how much they're also actually using it for their own records. That brings up a really cool question. The second one, I guess, is more of a question for you, Dan, is, what do you think is going on at Hasbro specifically, since you said 2007 was a time when they were looking for fans and fan content creators and databasers for input, whereas that's not necessarily the case anymore? But what do you think happened between 2007, where they're involving you directly, to 2016, where we don't even find out about this stuff till the day it drops on Force Friday?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. In back then, I mean, there was a whole Star Wars Q&A that was going on with many different websites. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the whole online community thing. Again, that was something I had really nothing to do with it, but I helped coordinate some of that, if you will, behind the scenes. So there was a number of websites that, believe it or not, we all kind of like worked together. and said, sure. Hey, let's ask some good questions and not the same one. Like, are you going to make a 9 num? Okay, they're not going to answer that, so don't ask that question.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? But a couple things I think changed. I mean, there's been some, you know, economy issues that caused a lot of shortcuts and not cutbacks necessarily, but, you know, the figures are not what they once were. There used to be a whole line of super articulated. If you look back at the Clone Wars line from 2008, giant vehicles, lots of chances taken, and lots of just more product coming out.
Now, do you think that's the economy that's changed, or is that the change in leadership? Because we know back then it was all, you know, Daryl DePriest apparently had a lot to say back then.
Yes.
But, I mean, he's still with Hasbro, but he's not directly involved with the Star Wars brand anymore.
Correct. So, and that's another good point, too, because, I mean, I know that there's the cost cutting. That's definitely an issue that can't be overlooked. I mean, a lot of this stuff just takes – it's very expensive to produce. I know, you know, as fans and collectors, it's like, well, we're paying $4.99, $5.99, $6.99, $7, $8, not $12.99. Are you kidding me? $12.99 for a 4-inch action figure? That's crazy.
And everybody goes and buys it, so you can't find it on the shelves, right?
There's the other part of this, which is the distribution, because that's been like almost a four-letter word for the past 5 years or so, maybe even a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Do we blame 2012's Episode 1 on that? Do we think Walmart is to blame for this backup?
I personally think that was a big mistake that they put so much effort into that line. Because, I mean, does not anybody not remember 1999? It's not like that movie really set the world on fire, and there was a lot of product. They did the same exact thing. And the weird thing is that they not only put out a lot of Episode 1 product, but it was all like repacks and repaints of stuff that, you know, as longtime collectors, we already had.
Sure.
And did they really think that this 3D movie was going to bring in a whole bunch of new fans that were suddenly going to say, oh, I want to buy all these toys? I think that backfired in a major way.
Yeah, I think so too. But, you know, at first I thought that it was a good strategy by Hasbro, because leading up to the 3D release, there wasn't really a whole lot of Episode 1 product out there. Mm-hmm. You know, it had been like, what, since 2002 that they had done a realistic style Jar Jar Binks, right? So it had been like 10 years. So I think there was one in the Clone Wars line that was released in 2008, 2009, something like that. But it felt like the time might actually be right for, you know, to give it another try and see if Episode 1 stuff now catches on, but I guess it didn't, you know, but
But also remember, there was supposed to be Episode 2 and Episode 3.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They ended up never coming out, and yet they had product coming out to support that movie, which, okay. No, I think a lot of people got very confused over that. And
well, that's
fact,
Disney, right? That was Disney's.
Well, that's the big thing I was going to say. Yeah, that's the big thing, because when Disney took over, a lot of things changed. A lot of the rules that we used to know changed, and like immediately gag orders on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if Disney had their way, we would not have known or seen any Hasbro toy product at all until the movie came out. And I know that behind the scenes, there was a lot of conversations and a lot of discussions over, you know, if you're going to put out a movie around Christmas time, we have to promote the hell out of it during the fall.
Sure.
Right.
And there was like, no, we don't want to come out. It's all secret. It's all secret. And it's like, well, we kind of can't do that. The compromise was reached and Force Friday became a thing. Now, all of the designers that I used to know at Hasbro, none of them are working there anymore. They're not on Star Wars anymore. And it's a completely different thing. I mean, the toys are 5POA. We mentioned that earlier, I think, before we really started. And there's a big, big push, pun intended, to go to a 6-inch scale.
Now, do you think the 6-inch scale was born out of the necessity that at the time... Because I remember Daryl DePriest, he came out, I don't know what it was. Was it Toy Fair? Was it San Diego Comic Con or something? But at one of the panels, he pulled out his slide where the slide said, collector's fatigue. And when I read that back then, I felt like, oh my God, something, they're going to change something in a big way, which probably meant, I thought it meant less figures a year. But I think they took it a step further in that, you know, Lucas always said there's not going to be any more Star Wars movies. And the Clone Wars was kind of like tagging along, but, you know, Disney was not anywhere on the horizon yet. And I feel like because they felt that there was a collector's fatigue and the sales numbers didn't really match. So at first they pull out the vintage collection, right? I mean, nostalgia. They hit the collector's sweet spot, so to speak, you know? And it felt like the sales numbers didn't quite add up in that regards as well. And so they had to come up with something else because they still had the license for another 8 or 9 years until 2018, 2019 or something like that. And I always felt that the 6-inch line was something that's what they came up with to make it more interesting again. And then Disney comes along and buys Lucasfilm. And now they've already committed 2 or 3 years into the life cycle of the 6-inch line. And I sometimes wonder if they look at it as it being a mistake. But it's not really something that they could have foreseen. You know what I mean?
I think the 6-inch line came out, I mean, it probably was in the works for a long time. I mean, this is really like the Marvel Legends of Star Wars. And that has a question that's been asked many, many times over the years that I was kind of involved with that, keeping track of the questions and whatnot. They always said, no, we're not going to do that. Star Wars is 3 3/4, and that's definitely where we want to stay. But here's the problem with that. The line's been going for how many years now? They've done everybody. I know, random Cantina Alien number 5 over on the left, hiding behind the counter. They haven't done that guy. But does anybody really want that guy? No, they want the latest Boba Fett. But you know what I mean? It's sort of like, okay, we need to come up with something that keeps it fresh, not only for collectors, but for ourselves as well. And moving to a 6-inch scale, you can see it in the interviews that people do. It's all new guys, and they're all coming in. Yeah, this is like a great way to kind of start over in a new scale.
Right.
And I get it. I do have some of the 6-inch figures. In fact, I just found the Ahsoka Tano figure. She's gorgeous.
Oh, nice.
That is a really, really nice figure. And I'm not a huge 6-inch collector. Like, I mostly stick to the 3 3/4-inch, 4-inch scale. But some of these, you know, I got to get them. I got to get that old Han Solo as soon as I see him again because I missed him the other day. I said, well, do I get Han or do I get Ahsoka? I want to get Ahsoka because she looks really nice.
Yeah.
But the... I don't know, the decision to go to 5POA, I mean, we started seeing that less articulation happening probably around 2010.
Now, do you think that was a cost measure, or was that something that they really thought that we want to make it more kid-friendly?
No, I think that was totally a cost. So Vintage Collection itself, that's totally geared towards the collector. The other line, the Clone Wars line, the Blue Skies that was out there for a while, the toy line that had either Darth Maul's face or Yoda's face or Vader's face, that was totally geared towards kids, and you can tell because of what they call action features, right?
Right.
Sure. With action features, it's either part of the figure or like a big giant accessory that they come with. That's totally geared towards the younger fans, and the older fans are kind of like, yeah, well, that Obi-Wan Kenobi, I have him like 5 ways to Sunday. I don't need another one, so I'm going to skip this one. But for a kid, it's like, wow, hey, this is really cool. He has a big giant gun that I can shoot things with. But most of the adult collectors I know, we totally skipped all that. And that's what happened is they made a lot of product that nobody bought.
They gave us the vintage card backs, and us fans went crazy, right?
Yes.
The Vintage Collection was phenomenally successful. But then, and it had super articulated figures, which for most people were exactly what they wanted as well. But then they retired the card back and said, well, they liked the vintage style, so why don't we change the figures to 5POA to bring back some of that nostalgia as well? I wonder how much of that conversation took place as opposed to, well, it's a lot cheaper to make 5 points instead of 20.
Right.
I think that definitely had something to do with the very early days when they came out with that, because I remember some of the Q&As where they, you know, when Hasbro dropped the Kenner name, we want to go back to 5PO, the Kenner-esque kind of articulation. And if you remember, they did come out with, you know, two Bespin Lukes. One had all bright blonde hair and one had, you know, the regular brown hair, which was a clear nod to the vintage days, right?
Sure.
And,
sure.
You know, I really like that concept, you know, like 5POA figures, but modern sculpting sensibility, but still a nod back to old Kenner days. But at some point, they just dropped that completely. I think those two Luke figures were the only figures that they did, really, that kind of had that tribute somehow, you know?
Right. And it's really funny because that we're coming up on this day anyway. I did a April Fool's Day joke where I did like running change paint variants for several of the vintage collection figures just painted in the old Kenner style. And I don't know that anybody necessarily bought it, but it was a pretty funny joke to me. And Hasbro was like, you know what? We might do something like that one day. I liked it.
Yeah.
I used to have fun with it. I mean, you know, you start doing like, if you're a reporter, you're giving the news day in, day out, always, you know, telling people what's happening. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I loved going to conventions, meeting all the fans, meeting all the companies, and passing on the information. The whole thing is different now because you can just tweet that information out. You can go on Facebook, Instagram, whatever your social media preference is. There's no, like, running over to Kinko's so you can get an internet connection and get the pictures online.
Right.
It's all instant now. The game is completely different. And it's so funny because I sit back and I'm, like I said, I'm the old man. I go, yeah, I remember back in the day, I used to be in New York City running around in the snow trying to get back to the hotel room and tell everybody about Toy Fair. I remember those days. Now you just stand there and push a button and you just tweeted it out for the world to read.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating, but it's way different now. I can actually cover Toy Fair better by not going.
Oh yeah, you have
true.
Oh, absolutely true.
True.
Yeah, totally.
It's weird.
Now, see, one thing that's also changed is distribution. I mean, for a long time we always complained, "Oh, Hasbro has distribution problems." You know, just because we're used to going out, and I have to say from probably 2003, 2004 on all the way until early 2011, I want to say, is that I went out almost every weekend on a toy run. And I was hunting for figures. And sure, I didn't find something every weekend, but almost every weekend.
Right.
It always felt like there was something out there that you could go hunting for. And I mean, you know, I know a lot of people have complained to Hasbro about distribution problems and stuff, but it's really hard for me to wrap my head around that a multi-billion dollar company can't really figure out how to distribute their products properly. And do you think that that's all purpose, or do you really think that they're having distribution problems, or is it all like part of a bigger picture that we, as you know, regular toy hunters don't really get?
Well, I do think it's a problem for sure. That, like I said, it's been around for a really long time. It's almost become a four-letter word. But if you look at some other companies like Lego or now Funko, I never have problems finding their latest releases. So there are companies that can do it. I don't understand necessarily why Hasbro seems to have such an issue with it. But I know it's not just Hasbro. And it's not just Star Wars. It's every line that they produce. And it's other companies like Mattel, for example. Some stuff that I've talked with some of the guys over at NECA about. It's definitely an issue. But there are other, like I said, there are other companies nowadays. I mean, if you collect the Funko Pops, how many of those are there? I mean, just it blows my mind.
So that wraps up our first half of the discussion that we had with Dan Curto. Come back next week for the second half.
All right, now it's time for this week's collector calendar. Of course, these events are keeping collectors on tab to events and release dates that are of interest. March 30th, is going to see the release of the Star Wars Special C-3PO action figure cover. Now, this now, just breaking news, is not coming with one exclusive cover, but two. The first, a cover we announced for the action figure variant, will feature C-3PO with his red arm. Just breaking news announced is that he is going to also be shipping with an exclusive that is for Wonder World Comics. And it's going to include what looks like a three-pack mailer that includes the vintage Death Star droid, vintage R2-D2, and a vintage C-3PO figure, but with a red arm. Don't know how those three go together, but that's what we're getting for a second release of a action figure variant. The end of March also sees the end of your chance to submit a panel idea for Star Wars Celebration London. If you're interested or have an idea for a panel, make sure to check out StarWarsCelebration.com. April 2nd, the Tennessee Star Wars Collectors Club is holding their first annual meetup. This will be held Saturday, April 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee, and you can find out more about that at the Tennessee Star Wars Collector Club's Facebook page. April 6th sees the release of Poe Dameron. Now, this comic book also comes with an action figure variant cover by John Tyler Christopher, this time featuring the Rebel pilot or the Resistance pilot on a vintage style card. On April 7th through 10th, we'll see Emerald City Comic Con returning to Seattle. And on April 8th, during the convention, the panel Judge Me by My Size, Do You? Will be taking place at 12:30 on that Friday. And that will be hosted by yours truly and Ryan Bisey from the Galaxy of Toys and the Collecting Cosmos podcast. Make sure to check it out. Come say hi. We might have some swag to show off. And thanks to Mike Hyken, we now know that the Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club will be having their annual swap meet on Saturday, April 23rd in Frankfort, Kentucky. The swap meet is open to the public and is a great chance to fill gaps in your Star Wars collection. For the address and more information about that, make sure to check out the Collector Club's Facebook page.
So that wraps up our third episode. I hope you guys liked it, and I hope you guys come back next week for the second half of the Dan Curto discussion. We'll have more Star Wars action figure talk for you. We'll have all the news for you. Hey, and don't forget, let us know what you think the $300 Hasbro vehicle for the 3¾-inch line is going to be. Get in touch and let us know, and we'll discuss it a little bit more on the next episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.
And until next time, may the figures be with you. $300.